This is the Rare Witch Roundtable, episode 4, April 10th, 2009. And then there were three. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Rare Witch Roundtable, the premier podcast about Rare, Xbox, and the Rare Witch Project forums. I'm Kelvin, your host, and joining me today we have Bottles98, Larry Keller from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hello, everybody.
And also we have Gruntling, Aaron Haslam from Phoenix, Arizona, Arizona State University.
Hi, everyone.
Now, we've only got the three hosts for you this week, since Andre's off partying for spring break, I believe it was, and Gray's gingering up the place, so it's just us today. We'll get started with the news. Our first news item this week is the Xbox Live Marketplace on Amazon.com. Currently it's only for US residents, but you're able to go to Amazon and purchase arcade titles or arcade games and or send them as gifts and get a code, insert it in your Xbox, and away you go. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's pretty interesting, especially since you can now give games from the Xbox Live Arcade as gifts and such.
I think it makes it a lot more convenient. I know, like, say, if you're not at your Xbox, like you're at school or you're at, you know, a friend's house and you want to download a game, you can. It just makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I like the fact that you don't actually have to pay for more points than you need. You can just pay the amount of the game and deal with it. Just, you know, go from there. The gift item is also a great way, because otherwise you're sort of stuck when, if you wanted to give someone a game as a gift. So I think it's a really good move. I just hope it becomes available to other countries, because me being in Australia, you know, I'm sort of missing out at the moment.
Definitely.
But is there anything that you're not missing out on?
Well, I suppose when you put it that way, you're right. So it's probably, you know, low on the list of things that should happen in Australia before this happens. So, that it for that news article?
I think we said about all that can be said about it. It's pretty cool.
Our next item in the news is Perfect Dark coming to the Xbox Live Arcade? In a recent Banjo blog update about the upcoming Banjo-Tooie dashboard theme, one of the screenshots that included the game library had a picture of the Perfect Dark... Well, what do you guys call it? It's just a picture of the Perfect Dark character in the list, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a picture of Joanna Dark as she looked in the N64 game.
So is this an indication that we're going to be getting Perfect Dark on the Xbox Live Arcade, or are Rare just playing with our minds?
I hope it ends up true, because I tried playing it on the N64, and it's kind of hard to do. The controls have kind of aged.
I've never played Perfect Dark on the N64. I've only ever played Perfect Dark Zero, so I sort of don't know what to expect.
I've never played it before, so I hope it comes out, because from what I've heard from other people, it's a game worth checking out.
I always hear good things about it, but I've also heard that it's, you know, similar to GoldenEye. I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to be rushing out to buy this one, so... But it will be interesting if it does get released, particularly because there's rumours going about a Perfect Dark 2 being made. So, I suppose we'll just have to wait and see. Our third news article for you this week is the Banjo-Tooie Easter trailer was released yesterday or early this morning or whatever the time is for different people listening, as well as the Stop and Swap gamer picks. And the video was supposed to contain clues about Stop and Swap and how it's going to interact with Banjo-Kazooie on the Xbox Live Arcade. And yes, it did show us a little bit, but what were your guys' thoughts on the video?
I thought it was all right. It didn't really reveal much of anything. We already knew about the Breagol Bash from the original version.
I'm just looking forward to playing the game again. I don't think it really revealed too much, but it's always kind of cool to see the game again, because when I played the first one, it was interesting seeing it in HD and everything. So I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it without constant slowdown. Woo.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it should be, a big improvement, because 8 years later on a whole new console that's much more powerful, we should be able to get, a better performance out of it. And I'm interested to see whether we get anything new with Stop and Swap, Bottle's Revenge or something like that, or if it's all stuff that we've already had before.
You get to play as Mr. Pants.
I hope to see something about Stop and Swap and definitely Bottle's Revenge. I'm really more interested in Bottle's Revenge. And if they leave that out, then I think that's going to be the next hot topic from now on, like what could have been,
Yep, because after Tui comes out and Stop and Swap sort of solve, but there's not a lot of mysteries left in the games now, is there?
No.
There's not really much mystery to Bottle's Revenge, though, especially since it's available in the original version with Game Shark.
Well, I suppose, yeah, that's true. But for a lot of people haven't actually tried it out, so if it was available in its entirety, I think that could show people who've never had a chance to toy with it, what it's about.
I definitely think it's something that if they don't provide, initially with the release, they should probably provide as a downloadable content. It will be good to see as downloadable content anyway.
Oh, I hope they include it. I'm just saying, like, there's not much mystery to discuss about it if it doesn't end up happening.
Well, wasn't the reason why it was dropped in the original game was because it wasn't fully completed or something like that?
I think they ran out of time.
Yeah, I think it was a time factor because I didn't have it working completely with bosses or something. I can't really remember. It's been a while since I've looked up information about
it. Yeah, the only boss they had working before they dropped it was Old King Ghoul.
Have you guys tried Bottle's Revenge before?
Yeah.
Not really. I've sort of, enabled the codes and then... Oh, yeah, there he is. I'm turning off the game now.
I like the Devil Bottle's creepy laugh.
Oh, well, so hopefully that's something to look forward to anyway. Okay, and now, final and most major bit of news this week is Log's Lost Challenges was released on Tuesday to the Xbox Live Marketplace. So we got to finally see what all the hype has been about. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I was a little disappointed that they were advertising, 12 new challenges, but it only happened to be 6 that you play twice.
Yeah, that was pretty lame. Other than that, though, I thought it was pretty decent. Klingo's new game is just, wow.
Yeah, it certainly made up for the disappointment with the lack of challenges. I know, Gruntling, you don't have nuts and bolts either, so you're going to have to just sort of...
Well, I think the whole downloadable content idea is good. It allows people to, keep coming back to the game, so, once you're finished with the game, you don't have to put it away. You can keep coming back towards it. So I hope they release more downloadable content in the future.
Yeah, I'd like to see more, because I finished the game, Christmas Eve last year, and I hadn't picked it up again until Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was, I bought the downloadable content. So it certainly puts a bit of life back into the game.
And I think there could be more, too. You said that there was 12 challenges planned, but they only released 6. So I'm sure they have, ideas if they wanted to do that again in the future.
But
I think it's more that they just stretched, they just kind of stretched the truth about there being 12 challenges.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether they planned 12 new challenges and only put in the 6 that you played through, once as Log's choice of vehicles and once as yours, or whether it's... Yeah, they just stretched the truth a bit. I suppose, time will tell whether we do get more downloadable content or not.
I think it just depends on how popular it proves to be.
And they've used up the 250 gamer point gamer score allowance that's normally there for games. So is that sort of an indication that we're not going to be getting any more, or at least no downloadable content with more achievements, or do you think they'll push it past that 1250 limit?
Well, they're a first party, so I suppose they technically maybe could.
I suppose that's just another one of those mysteries about Banjo that we'll have to discuss for the next 10 years. Okay, moving on to the Forum Watch segment. We'll start off with Larry. What's your topic for this week?
My topic is the Your Favorite Forum Members thread by Cookie. And I chose this thread because it's, you know, not typically the kind of thing you see people listing the people they actually like on the forum. And also, I've got to admit, I find it kind of funny when people are like, oh man, I'm not on anyone's lists, I'm going to go cry into a pillow.
Yeah, and then because, you know, they've said, oh no, I'm not on anyone's list, everyone then starts, you know, adding them to the list.
I typically don't participate in those threads because of that reason, because I'm afraid I'll forget someone, you know?
Yeah, I do the same thing, because it's just more like, well, if I post a reply, it's going to be saying something like, I like everybody that's not on my I don't like list, and then my I don't like list is going to be see my like list. So just circular logic. So if you're in the Anything Goes forum, check out the topic. Now, next topic from you, Gruntling.
Okay, my topic is, do you ever get the feeling you keep killing threads by Chaz? Basically, the topic is in the title. I think everyone can relate to this every once in a while. You're like in a popular thread, or I guess it doesn't even have to be popular, but you're in a thread and you post and then all of a sudden it's dead.
I've thought that a number of times. You know, I've entered a relatively popular topic and then I've made a post and then suddenly there's no more. So was it something I said that stopped the topic, or do people just not like me?
I don't think I've had that happen. At least not that I can think of.
That hasn't happened to me recently.
There was there was a topic in the Banjo-Tooie forum, the Banjo-Tooie achievements, and I posted the Xbox.com website where the achievements were found, and I mean, it started back up again now, but for like a week, the topic just died, and I thought, oh, I've killed the thread again.
What I think
is
worse is
people had already discussed a lot in that thread anyway.
I suppose, maybe I'm just late to the party. So, what were you going to say, sorry, Gruntling?
Oh, that's all right. What I was saying, what I think is worse is when you create a topic and no one replies to it at all for its entirety. It just kind of sits there like, okay, maybe I didn't post something that was very interesting, or I don't know.
Yeah, that I have had happen.
I think we all have. Yeah, it's not something you sort of look forward to. You're wondering what you missed out on. My topic this week is the How Will Nuts and Bolts Affect the New Stop and Swap started by the Pizza Boy in Banjo-Tooie forum. And the idea is, what's going to happen with Stop and Swap? Are we going to be required to have Nuts and Bolts as well as both the Xbox Live Arcade games to, you know, unlock the eggs and then transfer them to the other games? Or will Tooie unlock something in Kazooie, unlock the eggs in Kazooie, and Nuts and Bolts is just an extra?
I think how it is when Tooie comes out, if you don't have Nuts and Bolts, then Tooie will go ahead and do the unlocking of the eggs and stuff from Kazooie, and then you can get them. I don't think they'd force you to buy all three games.
Well, we were discussing that last week, and I was saying I didn't think that make you have to buy, you know, downloadable content or another game or something for those blueprint winners, but we haven't, as far as I know, received those blueprint winners, so maybe they would force us to buy them.
I think it'll work either way. Like, if you have just Banjo-Kazooie or just Nuts and Bolts, there'll be eggs that will be, like, for each game. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yep, I think so. So hopefully,
we still don't have anything about we still don't have any idea about those new eggs that were on the gamer picks.
No, there's no information. So I suppose, you know, what that was released April 1st, that information, wasn't it?
I think it was March 31st, but yeah.
So I mean, it could be one of those rare time warped late April fools, or is it definitely going to be three new eggs, do you think?
Well, I don't think they'd drag it out, you know, past April Fool's. That would be just dumb.
So there is more to look forward to, and do you think those three new eggs are going to be in Tui, or are they going to do an update for Kazooie?
That's a good question. I'm going to assume they're going to be for Tui.
That's what I would assume, too.
The other thing I was thinking the other day is, maybe instead of having the Banjo-Kazooie carts in Tui that give out, you know, the already existing stop-and-swap items, perhaps the three carts will give out these new eggs, which we can use. I suppose it's just another one of those time-will-tell sort of things.
Yep, we'll just have to wait until whenever Tui finally ends up coming out.
Supposedly the announcement is really soon, but haven't they been saying the announcement for the release date is soon for a while now?
Well, they don't have much longer. They said it's releasing in late April, so that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, it's almost expecting, you know, an announcement tomorrow saying it's coming out on Monday.
I don't think it's going to be too much longer.
Well, arcade games only come out on Wednesdays, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah. So we've only got three Wednesdays left of April. And you would think if it was coming out this Wednesday, we'd have heard something already. So
I still think it's coming out the 29th, because that's the only Wednesday in April that we don't know what's coming out on that day.
Yep. I mean, that makes sense to me. But, yeah, you just sort of never really know. With an announcement that's been delayed, anything could happen. Okay. Before moving on to the email of the week, I thought we'd discuss quickly about the Rare Witch Project. The 11th of April, which is today for me and tomorrow for some of you, by the time you listen to this, it's probably in the past anyway. It's the Rare Witch Project's 9th birthday. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I certainly never imagined being here for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, that's pretty trippy. Now, of course, some of that has been, like, months of downtime where the site didn't exist for periods of time.
Yeah, there was end of 2002 to start of 2003 where it just ceased to exist. But, you know, generally, the site was started in 2000 and it's been around basically since then. So it's hard to think that, you know, we've all been here for... Well, because we've all been here for majority of the time, so it's hard to think that it's been that long. And I know last week we had Skyne's email about how the Rare Witch Project started, so if you haven't listened to that episode yet, here's a quick rundown. It basically started as a fan site for the Banjo games, where it was providing information on the then-upcoming Banjo-Tooie game, which, funnily enough, 9 years later, it's still got a Banjo-Tooie coming out. and then in January of 2001, the sandcastle codes for stop-and-swap items in Banjo-Kazooie was discovered, and that's when the site really took off. So, if you want to listen to a bit more detail, go back and listen to episode 3, but it is funny, quite funny, I think. You know, 9 years ago, we were waiting for Banjo-Tooie to be released, and here we are now, waiting for Banjo-Tooie to be released.
Yep. Some things never change.
Okay.
And so, we're still making up nonsense about Stop and Swap too.
Yep. Even after Stop and Swap's release, I can't see things, you know, stopping completely. We'll still be making up stuff about it. Now on to the email of the week, which we've got two emails for you this week. And Gruntling, would you like to read the first one?
Sure. Our first question comes from Deku Scrubby, and he has a question regarding the future of the Banjo series. His email reads, "Dear Rare Witch Roundtable, where would you like to see the Banjo series go in the future? Would you like to see them returning in vehicles or returning classic platforming?" Me, personally, I haven't played Nuts and Bolts yet fully. I've just tried out the demo. But I gotta say, the whole direction they took the Banjo series in really wasn't what I was expecting. So I'm sure I'd like to see, you know, the vehicles return, but probably in a smaller role, because I think what we've grown to know Banjo all about is platforming, and to see that, you know, in the Xbox 360 or a future Microsoft console, I think that would be where I'd like to see it go.
Yeah, I think most of us would like to see platforming and exploration come back into the forefront.
Yeah, I know I didn't mind the vehicle concept, and I enjoyed Nuts and Bolts, but it's certainly, you know, maybe have a couple of tasks in a platforming game where you have to build a vehicle or some, you know, build something that'll help you complete that task. But yeah, platforming in general, I'd really like to see sort of come back, because once I went back and played Banjo-Kazooie on the Xbox Live Arcade, and even Klungo's arcade option, because that's, you know, a bit different, it sort of makes you realize, well, hang on, you really do like the original Banjo style.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Nuts and Bolts, but my main issue was that outside of Showdown Town, there's really nothing to explore. Everything's kind of laid out for you.
Did you guys think that maybe it was just too different, had too different of a feel for a Banjo game?
I felt it when I was playing it. I remember thinking this actually does feel like a Banjo game, because they've captured what Banjo is, I think, you know, in Nuts and Bolts. It's just the lack of worlds, and yeah, the lack of exploring those worlds sort of was not disappointing as such, but something I'd like to see return. Okay, so thank you to Deku Scrubby for his email. And Larry, what have you decided to read?
Okay, we've got an email here from GreatMan3388, and he asks, "What is your absolute favorite game of all time? How much time total have you spent playing it, and why do you enjoy it so much?" This is kind of a hard one for me. I'm not quite sure what I'd choose. I've got a few, like Banjo-Kazooie, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 and Knuckles, Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yeah, it's a hard question. Donkey Kong Country, I think 2 or 3 is certainly up there. I've got Zelda Ocarina of Time up on my list, and Banjo-Kazooie, they're, I think, sort of all equal for that top spot in my mind. What about you, Gruntling?
That is tough. I've got a couple. I like Super Mario RPG a lot, and Yoshi's Island. There's a lot of Super Nintendo games that I really enjoy. Donkey Kong Country 2 is one of them. I like Zelda The Wind Waker. That's definitely another.
I don't know about you guys, but I know with my favorite games, I often end up going back and playing them. So, I mean, I can't give you an exact time, like, you know, 200 hours for this game and that. But I have spent a lot of time over the years just going back and playing, you know, Donkey Kong Country 2 or 3 or Zelda or Banjo-Kazooie. It's a lot of time has been, you know, wasted just revisiting these games that I love.
Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie I have replayed so many times, and I don't get sick of them. Hundreds of hours in them, probably.
That's what makes a great game a great game. When you can go back to it, no matter how old it is, no matter how many times you've played it, and it's still just as fun as the first time.
I know I've played Banjo-Kazooie over and over, and Banjo-Tooie I sort of, you know, played the once, or I've played twice, and I never went back to that one. But yeah, Banjo-Kazooie you can play through, and when you get used to it, you can beat it really quickly, and so it's not drawn out. You can enjoy the game in those, you know, few hours it takes you to play and beat, and really enjoy the game.
Well, I think Banjo-Kazooie is easier to pick up and play. Banjo-Tooie requires kind of more of a time commitment.
Yep. So, why did you enjoy your games?
I don't know. There's a lot of reasons for each of the ones that I mentioned. That's a hard one.
Yeah, I mean,
I have to think.
Yep. What about you?
I mean, they're all really fun games. They've got great music.
What about you, Gruntling? Why do you enjoy those games so much? Super Mario RPG or the other games that you mentioned?
It's a bunch of reasons. I think mainly because, like I said, if it has good replayability, you can come back to it time and time again. Or it has a good soundtrack that, you know, you can just enjoy it, not even playing the game. You know, you download it on your computer or something like that.
Yeah.
Or it has a really good story. Like, for example, the Wind Waker, I really enjoyed because of its storytelling.
I'm not a very big game music sort of person, so the game music doesn't attract me to it, but story is very important for me. If I don't like the story, or if it's lacking a story, then I won't go back to it. But Banjo-Kazooie and Zelda Ocarina of Time, I think the story that they've got there is just
fantastic stories.
Yeah, fantastic stories which you can go back. It's like reading a book over and over. There's when you find that good book, you have no problem reading it, even though you know what's going to happen.
Another good thing about that, too, is about the stories, that is. It's when you, like, replay the games over and over again, sometimes you pick up on something that you missed the first time.
Yeah, definitely, because it often, for a good story, there's often, hidden elements, so definitely takes more than just one or two playthroughs to pick up on everything. Thank you to Great Man for that email, when it's a perfect segue into the what are we playing this week. Gruntling, did you want to start us off?
The game I'm playing this week is Chrono Trigger, and I picked it up last month because I never had a chance to play it when I was on the Super Nintendo, and the controls and everything really works well for the DS, and the praise it gets, it deserves.
Now, I've never actually played and I haven't heard much about Chrono Trigger at all. What's the story about? What's the game about?
The game is about a group of characters. The whole concept of Chrono Trigger, I think, is chronology, time travel. And you go back and forth through time with these characters to try to stop this being from destroying the world at the end of time.
That actually sounds pretty interesting. I wonder why I haven't sort of looked up on it beforehand.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good story for an older game.
Okay, thank you, Gruntling, for that. Larry, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts again because of Log's Lost Challenges coming out. And I've actually passed 100 hours in that game now.
That's some dedication right there, that's for sure.
Yep, I have definitely been playing that a lot.
So this last week, have you just been playing the Lost Challenges, or have you been going back and playing through the actual main game as well?
Well, I've just been playing the Lost Challenges. I've been trying to beat Hero Klungo Saves the Universe, but level 7 is like arg.
Yeah, I think it was level 7. Yeah, I had some trouble on that one. I just get past one section that's causing me problems, and there's another section that comes up that's frustrating.
And it just goes on.
Yeah.
The levels in that are long, especially when you have to keep starting over at the beginning. Anyway, I'm done ranting about that.
Yeah, alrighty, but yeah, they Klungo's Arcade is definitely one of the highlights of the Log's Lost Challenges, I feel. The game I've been playing apart from the Lost Challenges has been Braid. Now, I probably should have bought it when it was a third off, and that's what actually got it in my head, but I played the demo and I wasn't overly excited with it, there was nothing that grabbed me. But for some reason, for the last couple of weeks, I haven't been able to get it out of my head. So I figured, right, buy it, play it, see how it goes. And I was slightly disappointed. There wasn't, I suppose maybe I built it up in my head over the couple of weeks, but there wasn't sort of anything that grabbed me in the game. It was just a couple of puzzles which were relatively easy to solve, and then after a few hours the game was beaten.
I tried the demo and I didn't think it was bad, but I just, yeah, like you said, there wasn't much that grabbed me about it from the demo.
Yeah, I suppose I probably should have gone with my gut and not bought it, but it was okay. I mean, it was interesting to play through anyway, because there are some difficult puzzles that you have to choose, and manipulating time to, you know, fix your mistakes, it is an interesting concept, and it actually sounds a lot similar to Chrono Trigger, which you were mentioning before, Aaron. So it's certainly a game that, or both are games that, you know, appeal to me, because I'm one of those big time travel fans.
Yeah, definitely recommend picking it up if you get a chance.
Okay.
Could I make an announcement about the mentor program?
Yeah, go for it.
As most of you know, in case you haven't seen it, there's an announcement on the forums that we're hiring new mentors. And basically, if you're interested in the job, I encourage you to look at that announcement. It's at the top of every forum. And if you're interested in that job, go ahead and send me a private message by April 15th. And what's going to happen is everyone who's interested will send me an application, and I will go through and look at the best applications. And after the application date has ended, I will post the best applications in a special topic, and the best applications will be voted for, and the top five applications that get the most votes will become the new mentors. So that's what I have of that.
Sounds good. So was that the announcement that people were waiting for, or is it?
No, that was a little bit different. What we were trying to do was change the mentor program, because recently it's been kind of in a slump, and we were trying to think of new ways to reinvigorate it. And but we decided ultimately that the current system that we got is probably the best way, just to continue that way.
Fair enough. Okay, well, that's all we have for you this week. I'd like to thank Larry and Aaron for joining me. Please send your questions, comments, and concerns to our email address, podcast@rarewitchproject.com. If we read your email on the show, you'll get a nice little trophy that can only be obtained by us reading your email on the podcast. If you enjoy our show, please subscribe and review it on iTunes, because it all helps. And of course, feel free to leave comments on the forums. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode. Broadcast without the express written consent of the Rare Witch Project. It is intended for private use only. Copyright 2009. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all next week, and I hope everyone out there has a happy Easter. Okay, I don't know about you, but I thought that sort of ending sort of sucked.
I thought it was pretty good, actually.
I thought it was all right.
I think it turned out okay. We haven't sort of got much of an after show yet, though.
I know I'm not remotely capable of even coming close to dun-dun, wow, really.
So simple, but it's so far out of our reach that it's just not funny.